This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash on 181. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning once again to you, Laurie.
Welcome back.
I'm actually back to work again 2 weeks in a row here.
Feeling back to normal now?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. We're getting there. Just everyone says it takes a lot of time to come off of the Omicron business. So whatever the time takes, I will be here on Mondays from now until whenever. Okay. At least I hope so. So we've got a good show today. I have Dean Young, who was a candidate for governor, coming on at about 10:15.
Okay.
And so before he gets here, I want to just talk a little bit about President's Day. Now, this used to be George Washington's birthday until Nixon in the early 70s decided that the federal bureaucracy should have an extra, day off. And so they created President's Day. Now, I personally think it should go back to Washington's birthday, but that ain't going to happen. But it's interesting to note that when you talk about President's Day and you look at George Washington, what you're seeing there is a leadership model for presidents, okay? Now, why is this important? Well, I mean, throughout history, we have had to have presidents who stand up and do the right thing at the right time. So take your pick, okay? Lincoln in the Civil War, okay? Roosevelt in World War II, Reagan, tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev, okay? These kinds of leadership traits have become part and parcel of what people genuinely believe to be the kinds of leadership that's necessary in a shark-infested world, okay? Now, where am I going with this? Well, it seems to me that the current president, Biden, does not even come close to the leadership needs of this country. And you can say, oh, well, you're just a right-wing political hack, so you're going to be talking the talk, blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, the problem with that theory is that Joe Biden has a almost 50-year history of being in Washington, D.C., and what does he show for it? Now, think about this. In the end, and I've mentioned this to you all before on the show, he's been wrong on so many foreign policy issues, it is just absolutely amazing. Okay. What else does he have to show for it? Not a very distinguished senatorial record. Okay. I mean, what he seems to have been able to do is to leverage his position to improve his family's financial rewards. Okay. So whether it's Hunter Biden in Ukraine or Hunter Biden in China, and all of the information that we have is that Hunter was complaining about having to give to the big guy a certain portion of whatever they were getting, okay? So where does this take us? It takes us to the point where the founding fathers were extremely concerned about foreign influences on our political process. Now think about this. You had the French XYZ affair. I can't remember the exact date of it. Maybe 1789 or something along those lines, okay? But what it was the French were trying to put pressure on politicians to do certain things that were in France's interest, but not necessarily in American interest, okay? So there's nothing new about the concern about foreign influence. And yet here we have a president compromised with the Chinese, with the Russians, with whoever, who's taking money for his family, given his position, puts his family in position to take the kinds of big money that they never would have been able to do if they were just Joe Biden from Delaware or wherever. So my point here is that here you have a president whose compromised positions inevitably lead you to the question, will he do the right thing when push comes to shove in this shark-infested world that we're dealing with? And that takes us inevitably to the question of what the Chinese are looking at, watching America flail around with all of this business with Ukraine, linked to inevitably what the Chinese want with Taiwan. Frame this along the lines of Afghanistan. The absolute debacle that you saw in August that was mandated by Biden for political reasons, more than likely, to be able to have some sort of a so-called victory lap on September 11th. That, you know, he's the one who ended a 20-year war. Didn't matter whether the timing of his withdrawal was absolutely flawed, because it made no sense to do it until all the conditions were met. Oh, no, 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 that didn't matter. This was all about politics. And so I get back to this issue about the degree to which we can in any way think that Biden has the kind of leadership capability that's absolutely necessary in this particular period of time, given what we're facing, okay? So if at the national level we have issues pertaining to leadership, don't think for a second that we don't have those same leadership issues in this state at every level. That's how important leadership is. And it starts with the governor. And if you think that Ivy is a good governor, well, I'm sorry. That just does not stand up to a reasonable analysis of what the hell she has done and why she has to go. And we've got someone on the line who is going to assist her to say, Adi, I almost said a bad word with it. But
careful, careful.
Adios. But you know what I'm thinking. Ivy has to go, and let's talk to Dean Young and see how he's going to ask her to just go from Montgomery. Dean, thanks for calling in this morning.
Yes, sir, Dr. Lou. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I'm glad to have you, because you are a candidate that we can count on, and I think that one of the things that people have got to hear from you is just a little bit about why you got into the race, and then some of the key issues that you're looking at. And I'm looking forward to that discussion, Dean. So if you could just take a couple of minutes to kind of go through, you know, what drove you to get into this race.
Well, Dr. Lou, one of the first things that happened to get me on this course was what we saw during this COVID lockdown and the things that Governor Ivey put the entire state through, and that's a big problem. I know people tend to forget, but the government doesn't have the right to shut down people's businesses, to tell people who will and will not be able to operate their companies. The government doesn't have the right to say that you're essential, I'm not essential, your next door neighbor's not essential, and they surely don't have the right to shut down churches, but leave the abortion clinics open, to leave the liquor stores open, and the list goes on and on of how that's absolutely as un-American as you can get. So, but that was one of the main reasons. Another reason that, and more importantly to me, is you have to have government leaders, especially the government, the governor of the state, that will tell you the truth, that will be involved and be honest with you. She had promised 72% of the people of Alabama, she promised the entire state of Alabama, that if the Ten Commandments Amendment were passed, that she would personally make sure that they were up within 3 months of the date that she was elected. And it's in writing where she signed the document saying she would do that that she would put the Ten Commandments in the classrooms, that she would put a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and other historical documents across the land of Alabama. Now, a lot of that's coming to fruition with the group called Project 1776, and a lot of governors across the nation are signing up, saying, "You know, you reelect me, and I'll be involved in that. We'll make sure our children know of our real history." And she just straight up lied to the entire population, and has not even batted an eye. Now, the other thing, I mean, you, Dr. Lowe, I know you've been involved deeply in the fights with the toll bridge and what they've done, what she's done to the people of South Alabama. I mean, our state has had all of this money and more money. We've got more money now in the state of Alabama than we've ever had in the coffers, as far as tax money and money that's been given to them by the federal government. And they absolutely have had the opportunity to build a bridge down here without a toll, and they haven't done it. So this idea that they're going to toll the people of South Alabama and make them pay a toll just to go to work every day is out of the question, and that just shows the poor leadership, and her attitude toward it has been very bad the entire time. You can just look back, and you know, she sent her Aldott guy down here, I forgot his name, but Cooper, I think, was his name, and just pretty much told the people of Alabama, you know, you or South Alabama, this is what's going to happen, or that's it, we're not going to build a bridge at all. And he was very disrespectful, and he represented Ivy because that's the way, you know, that works. But she's just been a complete disaster, especially for the people of South Alabama.
Well, you know, Dean, I think that, you know, you've certainly hit on those three issues, which, you know, are extremely important in terms of laying the groundwork for, you know, your campaign, you know, and seeing how people respond to this. But, you know, when you hear her campaign manager talking about and some of these other so-called political experts talking about how conservative she is, it certainly seems to me that the argument that has to be made is that not only is she not conservative, but that she is in fact something completely the opposite of conservatism. So as you look at the landscape of all these issues, what are some of the ones that you're focusing on that really tell the tale that this is not a conservative? In fact, she's just the opposite of being a conservative.
Well, I mean, the first three were telltale signs. I mean, then you have the idea that she goes in and first thing she does when she's elected governor is cause a special session to increase everybody's gas tax.
Right.
And conservatives generally don't do that. And conservatives like me would find the money that's already there, because they waste tons of money. The state wastes just tons of money. And then you have the school issue. I mean, you got Common Core that's being taught, and it's any real conservative knows that's just not the way to teach children. They know that that's going backwards, and she's done nothing to change that. And so, I mean, you could just go down the list of things that she's done that she shows no regard for the people. And here's where it all, at the end of the day, Dr. Lou, you have a situation where there's a person who, and it goes back to this, she signed a document saying, without a doubt, I'll do this. If she is that callous to mislead the entire population of Alabama and show no regret, I mean, of all things, you know, displaying the Ten Commandments and national documents to help our children know where we came from, she'll lie about anything. So at this point, I would think, you know, conservatives, as you know, Dr. Lou, is a term that means consider the old ways, go back to the old ways, to you conserve the old good ideas. And she has done the exact opposite. She hasn't conserved the ideals that made this nation great. She hasn't conserved the, you know, low taxation that our founding fathers went to war over. And she hasn't conserved the idea of telling the truth. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you're going to literally, again, you have a signed document saying that she's going to do something, and you get elected partly because of that, and you just totally disregard the people, that's not being a conservative. That's being the opposite of a conservative.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head with this. Let's just go back to the gas tax just for a second. You know, you mentioned that there's waste and all like that. Not only was there waste, they had misdirected $63 million of money that should have gone to ALDOT. They were putting it into other places. So the need for this gas tax was only in the minds of those who are tax people. The Business Council of Alabama under Katie Britt pushed this. I mean, you know, this is the problem, Dean, where you've got the moneyed influences, not only on the governor, but because they are big donors to her, but look at how they were able to, you know, keep Common Core all these years, because they just flooded, you know, the legislature with money for their campaigns. I mean, this is the insidious problem of so-called conservative governance that started in 2010 when they changed the daggum laws allowing, you know, money to be put into the system by all of these different, you know, groups. And I mean, it's one of these things to try to break this cycle that is the major challenge in terms of conservative governance. How do we do this? I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
What we have to do, Dr. Lewis, we have to sit back and we have to look at our situation. And everybody that's listening on the radio, you need to really take a few minutes or maybe even longer and go, what is happening? Look at our nation. It's crumbling before our eyes. We're being destroyed, and nobody seems to be doing anything that's in power. We have a situation where we're able to tell these children, hey, if you feel like you're a boy and you're a girl, then that's what you are. And we tell these people that if you want to pretend like you're married to somebody of the same sex, well, then you can. And when you start seeing the structures of civilization disintegrate in front of your eyes, you're watching the end of the Western civilization. Because if you can look at someone and say, oh, that person says they're a girl and it's obvious that they're a guy, and then they want to force you to say that they're a guy, or they're a girl, I'm sorry, then that's what the psychological books would call insanity just a few years ago. So it's not just it's a situation now where our country hangs in the balance. And if we don't do something, and I'm talking about the God-fearing, red-blooded Americans that love this country, if we don't do something to set this thing back on the right course, it won't matter if $100 trillion comes into the coffers. It won't help anything. If they stop teaching Common Core and start teaching normal stuff like when we were little, you know, how to add two numbers together the right way, the quick way, it won't matter, because there's no structure, there's no foundation that's holding everything together. We're at the point of insanity in this country. I mean, we watch the news, and who knows what the heck's going on in the Ukraine? They've been telling us that, well, the Ukraine, well, they were going to go in on the 16th of February, and it's imminent, it's going to happen. We're lied to every day by the media, and I'm talking about the local media. So we have a real problem that if the people don't get involved and don't say, wait a minute, it's getting too late, then it's going to be too late, and this country will end as we know it.
Well, you know, here again we get back to gubernatorial leadership. And I mean, what you see from her, and you've mentioned it already in terms of Common Core, I mean, she was elected in 2010 as the, lieutenant governor. Then she served as the governor when Bentley went away. Now she's reelected in 2018, or elected for the first time as governor, and now she's here. We are at the very bottom. But you know what, Dean? The bottom is not the problem. It's the content of what they are being taught. You mentioned math, okay? So instead of having go to the moon math, we have crazy math. Okay, got it. But we also have this problem. And here again, this is a classic example of what I would suggest is a manifestation of the lack of leadership. Everyone was concerned about critical race theory, okay? She finally came out with something that was kind of a milquetoast attempt to deal with it. But when you put it hand in hand with this whole question of what she was doing about the mandate in terms of vaccinations, look at what she did with that. She passed some sort of executive order which basically said nothing more than it applied to only those people in the executive branch. She did nothing to protect individuals from losing their jobs over the fact that they had religious objections or medical objections for getting the jab. So, I mean, once again, we get back to issues pertaining to, you know, lack of conservative leadership here. So, I mean, Dean, when you see those kinds of things, I mean, how do you anticipate framing your campaign, you know, along these lines? I mean, is this, you know, I know there's a lot of issues, you know, the prison issue and all the rest of that. But when you really get right down to it, the heart of the problem is she doesn't have a moral bearing that takes her in the right direction.
Well, you're right, Dr. Lou. It's a moral problem, and it's a constitutional problem. It's like, for everybody listening out there, your governor never had the authority to do all that she did during the COVID. None of it. The 14th Amendment calls for due process. You cannot shut people's businesses down willy-nilly, which ones you said were essential, which ones were not essential. You can't force people to stay in their houses, not in the United States. Now, and then we've got a situation where I know a lady named Bonnie Sox, they passed a law now that forces Kay Ivey not to keep people from seeing their loved ones when they're dying in the hospitals. For goodness sake, she wouldn't let people go see their dying loved ones. And the fact of the matter is, Dr. Lou, the Constitution does not permit her to do any of what she did. I mean, look, Kristi Noem didn't do any of that. You know why? I mean, you know what her reasoning is? She said, I don't have the right under the Constitution, and Kristi Noem was right. The people of Alabama are smart enough, if you go, okay, this is what's happening, and tell them the truth, they'll figure out, okay, if I, like, I did this when I would go to, I had a friend with cancer, I would wear a mask because I didn't want him to get sick.
Right.
We're not stupid, and we don't have to be running around like we're a bunch of sheep. But, you know, and back to the Common Core, because you'd mentioned that too. I mean, what kind of people think that it's a great idea to take our kids and let them learn something that's going to slow them down? I don't know. I mean, I've watched them do math, and it's the craziest. It's the craziest thing I've seen. And it's like, okay, it's literally slowing everybody down, and they know that, but they don't care.
No, it was done
deliberately.
It's really
bizarre to me. All this is really bizarre, and it is a lack of leadership. And Dr. Lou, this is going to get worse. It's getting worse. And if we don't have real leaders that have been in the trenches, that have really been fighting, and I've been doing that for 30 years. You can go to DeanYoung.com, DeanYoung.com, and look, and you'll see I've been fighting for 30 years. Now, these other people that are in this race, they have not been fighting for 30 years, and I know some of your listeners like them, and that's great, but, you know, if you're going to war, you want somebody in the foxhole that knows what it's all about and has been there before. You don't want some novice in there that just says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Right.
They've never done it. You want that guy that's been there, done that, and understands the terrain. But we're in trouble, Dr. Lou, and I know you know that. If we don't get good leadership at this point, we're watching the end. I mean, it's happening. You're having guys look at you, telling you that, with guys with beards, telling you that they're girls, and you're supposed to accept that. And that is insane. If you go back to the, again, to the psychology books, that's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, and it's not right, and it's just the beginning. I mean, they started out, and Dr. Lou, you know this, when we fought against the changing the word marriage to meaning, you know, anybody who wants to get married, now they're changing the definition of what a man is and what a woman is. You know, here comes this new thing where they're talking about pedophiles can, or a guy can, if a little kid wants to engage an older person in sex, then that's okay too. You know, here that comes. But it's all unraveling, and we've got to have core values, and that's what this nation was founded on. The laws of nature and nature's God. And if you look at what the founders were writing, that means the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God, which means the Bible, the end. And everybody that doesn't like that, I'm sorry, but that's what all this was based on. That is the organic law, and it states it in the law books even today. That's where we come from. That's what they believed. And as far as that was okay and being taught, this nation was flourishing.
Well, Dean, let me just ask you this. And I know we're getting close to the end of the discussion time here, but you know, as a governor, the proposal, and your critique of her overstepping the bounds with the mask mandate and all like that, I understand that. But in part, there is this problem you have with Dr. Harris, who is not appointed by the governor. He's appointed by this medical board, and he does have this kind of authority. So I guess my question is, in trying to look to the future, and they did try to do this in the Senate last year, but it didn't go anywhere to kind of restrict the ability of both the governor and Harris to kind of do whatever they want to do. Is that something that you would get behind in terms of trying to do what they tried to do last year in the Senate by restricting the authority of these people to, you know, enact these kinds of, you know, problematic, you know, policies?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't even know Mr. Harris's name. And the people, this is the biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes I think was made during the Trump presidency. We should not even know who Dr. Fauci is.
Right.
Dr. Fauci's not elected. He's just some guy. And they, you know, and then we're going to start running everything by what Dr. Fauci says. And that is not, and I know Trump got at odds with him, which of course he should have. Dr. Lou, no, the medical guy does not have the authority to do everything that he did, whatever is Harris.
Yeah.
They don't have the authority to do that. So if I were the governor, that would not happen. He doesn't have any more authority than Kristi Noem's doctor has. You can't just go into Americans and tell them they have to stay in your house, they have to take the shot, they have to wear a mask, they have to not go to work, they have to not make money, they have to go bankrupt. We don't live in China, and if the truth, you know, Kay Ivey wants to shuffle that stuff off to that doctor, and that's not, Kay Ivey's where the buck stops, not that guy.
Okay.
You just walk up and tell everybody, shut down everything because there's this thing called COVID coming. He doesn't have that authority. And okay. So that's the way that works. Now, the governor should have the power that the governor has that's given to them under the Constitution, but they absolutely don't have the power that's not given to them under the Constitution. It's unconstitutional. Everything that she did was unconstitutional.
Well, Dean, listen, I think you're certainly on the right track with, you know, your analysis of her unconstitutional and non-conservative approach. And I think that I'm anxious to hear, again, you are going to be at our meeting tonight. And I think for those of you who are planning on coming. You're going to have another opportunity to hear Dean talk about some of these things. But I really appreciate you coming on today. Looking forward to seeing you tonight. Okay, Dean?
Thank you, Dr. Lou, and I look forward to seeing you. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
Sure. Take care. We'll see you later.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Bye now. Well, folks, I mean, you know, you've got a candidate there who's been in the fight for a long time, and I think that, you know, from the conservative standpoint, it's impossible to look at Ivy with her support of the $6 toll, with this whole business of Amendment 1, with her bogus prison plan, the gas tax. I mean, the list goes on. So I would think that it would not take much to persuade you all that Ivy is not a conservative. You know, now, what will it take to get you, you know, to say no to her? Well, if the list that we've already talked about isn't sufficient for you to walk away from Ivy, I don't know what else it's going to make, you know, to get you there. I will say this, that if we continue to move in the direction that she is leading us in, it's going to be just an absolute disaster, particularly on the education front. We are at the bottom. She knows about it. She's known about it. And I've talked to you all enough about this. I'm not going to belabor it today, especially since Lori's looking at the clock and I'm already 2 minutes over. See, poor Lori. She's saying, I didn't even look at the clock. You're right. I'm just joking.
Okay.
All right, folks. So here's another conservative watchdog news review ending, and I appreciate Lori's forbearance on the extra time. But you all take care. Have a great week. See you next time. Bye.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Lou. We appreciate you. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campobonosi from the Common Sense Campaign. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of this program or you want to tell a friend, you'll be able to listen to it later at WABF1480.com. That is WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming.